Today we want to look at the cult of Mormonism. Mormonism, well known, if you've ever had anyone knock on your front door and they're in normally white shirts and maybe a tie and their bikes are at the end of your driveway, they are handing out literature and they want to talk to you about Mormonism. Nice people. Really incredibly nice people. Kind people. It's very difficult to be rude to them, nor should we should never be rude to anyone, much less someone knocking on our door. I would say that if we are equipped as Christians, as we must be, when someone knocks on our door, what an incredible opportunity it would be to be an equipped believer when someone's knocking on your door or our door and give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Listen to them, hear their views, know where they're wrong, and kindly and gently correct their thinking. Let's take a look at a few things about what the Mormons believe. They're often called the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Their founder is Joseph Smith, Jr., lived 1805, died in 1844. The church was founded, Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, LDS, founded in 1830 in Palmyra, New York. Location is headquarters today is in Salt Lake City, Utah. If you've ever been to Salt Lake City, Utah, you know and you see everything. Everything is Mormonism. The key writings in this religion or cult is the Book of Mormon, also the Doctrine and Covenants. There's the Pearl of Great Price, also the Bible, King James Version, has to be the King James Version only, or Smith's, what he calls his own inspired version. Authoritative teachings of Mormonism's prophets and other general authorities. Whatever these prophets say or whatever these general authorities may be, that's what they also believe in addition to their books. A couple things about Joseph Smith and the Mormons. As Joseph Smith, as a teen, he moved to New York with his family when he was a teenager. Charles Finney had been preaching there in New York during that day. It was dubbed the quote-unquote burned-over district because so many revivals had occurred there in New York. One revivalist after another. In Joseph's town, Palmyra, four denominations, which were the Congregationalists, Presbyterians, Baptists, and the Methodists, all of these were competing for the allegiance of the town people. Smith, as many people, just simply wondered which one was right. While reading the Epistle of James, which says, quote, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him." At length, I came to the conclusion that, unquote, by the way, at length I came to the conclusion that I must either remain in darkness, Smith says, and confusion, or I must do as James directs, that is, ask God for wisdom. He and his family were known as treasure hunters. They sought seer stones and money digging. A vision of an angel telling him that there were golden plates is really the big thing in Mormonism because Joseph Smith got a vision while treasure hunting, while asking for wisdom, as James told him to ask, and got a vision of an angel. It told him where some golden plates were hidden. He obtains these golden plates, digs them up, from an angel named Moroni. Emma, among others, translates his seer stone translation of the plates, Emma Smith. Hence, you have the Book of Mormon. Now, the Book of Mormon is going to come about because he dug up some plates, golden plates, that an angel told him where to dig. They come up, he translates them, and out comes the Book of Mormon. Joseph then gets permission to show three other witnesses the golden plates. These men were Oliver Cowdery, David Whitmer, and Martin Harris. And in 1829, Joseph, around the age of 30, about 30 of the people, formed a new church, the True Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. God told him that none of those religions, Congregationalists, Baptists, Presbyterians, Methodists, and all those revivals that had occurred in New York, instead of an angel or God himself telling Joseph which one was real, God told him that they're all wrong. Go form your own religion. Gave him a vision. He digs up the plates, translates them, and out comes the Book of Mormon and an entirely new religion in 1829. 30 of them. Continuing revelation, when specific questions came up about the new church, Joseph sought and received direct revelation on specific questions, or so he said. These are collected into another book called Doctrine and Covenants. So someone would have a question, Joseph would go and ask God, and God would give him direct revelation, and these are recorded in the book called Doctrine and Covenants. The New Jerusalem for Mormonism, since it's the new and perfect and only right religion, was Independence, Missouri. Independence, Missouri is the place where Jesus was to return, in Joseph's mind, to set up his millennial 1,000-year kingdom. Many moved there to buy property, and the three witnesses who witnessed the golden plates were among these pioneers who came to Independence, Missouri from Palmyra, New York. Some Campbellites in Kirkland, Ohio, heard about Smith, and most of the church converted. Campbellite churches. The pastor, named Sidney Rigdon, converted and became the intellectual leader of Mormonism. Another, named Parley Pratt, later joined the fold. Here's two pictures of those gentlemen. Then there was a move to Kirtland. Smith moved his church to Kirtland, Ohio, and under the influence of Sidney Rigdon began receiving revelations that significantly changed Mormon doctrine. The church prospered there while in Kirtland, and they were persecuted. Smith got involved in land speculation schemes. He created his own anti-bank to loan non-existent money. He had many secret sexual liaisons, and meanwhile, Missourians ran the Mormons at Independence out of their homes. While he's back in Kirtland, those left in Independence, Missouri, were being run out of town. They were not making a great name for themselves. Certainly, Joseph Smith's reputation preceded him. Lots is written about him. There's all kinds of magazine articles that exist to this day on microfiche that you can look up about Joseph. The society around him didn't think too highly of him, especially with his many sexual liaisons. Mormons in Independence traveled north to the far west in Missouri to establish a new Mormon town. Scandals in Kirtland forced Smith to flee, and he too comes to the far west into areas that weren't really very, very populated at the time. Many, including these three witnesses, the men he had shown the plates to, decide that Smith is a fallen prophet. Now his own people are turning against him. Smith manages to excommunicate them. If you don't like someone and what they're saying, get rid of them. Smith sends 12 apostles, including Brigham Young, who would succeed him after he died, to England on a mission. After the Missourians and the Mormons came to war, the Mormons finally left. They purchased their own city in Illinois, which they named N-A-U-V-O-O, Navajo, I believe. At Nauvoo or Navajo, Smith set up a theocracy. Theocracy set up would be God is our president and we do everything God says. Of course, Joseph Smith will be the one that talks for God. He finally reveals to the world his notion of plural marriage. With all his sexual liaisons, he needs to be able to marry more than one. Smith was suspected when someone attempted to assassinate the governor of Missouri. So now he's being tried, or at least thought to be the one that assassinated the governor of Missouri. When he was arrested, an Illinois mob broke into the jail and they killed him. Brigham Young gained control of the church when Smith died, and he led them to the Salt Lake Valley, which was then outside the bounds of the United States, not even part of the United States, and that's where the Mormons wound up under Brigham Young at this time. Now, a little bit more about their theology. When you would ask them, who is God, they would say, God the Father was once a man, but he, quote-unquote, progressed to godhood. Their saying, their slogan is, as man is, God once was. As God is, man may become. In other words, man can become gods. And whatever your view of God is today, that's what you can be in Mormonism. God the Father has a physical body, as does his wife, who is generally called the Heavenly Mother. There is no Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are three separate gods. Joseph Smith called this a three-headed monster and thought that it couldn't even possibly be true. Worthy men may one day become gods themselves. So when you talk about who is God, It's a completely different version of what we would of who Lord God Almighty is in the Bible. Yahweh Almighty, the sovereign creating God. In Mormonism, you can be that God. Who is Jesus? Well, the Mormon Jesus is a separate God from God the Father, whom they call Elohim, which is one of the Hebrew names given to God. It's a general designation for God. It is a plural term, hence the I am on the end. In Hebrew, that means that is a plural. But the Mormon Jesus is separate from the Father, whom they call Elohim. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and the Mother of Heaven, the Heavenly Mother. And he is the, quote-unquote, elder brother of all men and spirit beings, because we can be just like him. His body, Jesus, was created through sexual union between Elohim and Mary. He was also married. His death on the cross does not provide full atonement for all sin, but does provide everyone with resurrection, according to Mormon thought. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, in Mormonism, the Holy Spirit is different from the Holy Ghost. In Orthodox Christianity, it's the same thing. Ghost, spirit. The Holy Spirit in Mormonism is not God, but is instead an influence or electricity-like emanation from God. The Holy Spirit is also called the quote-unquote light of Christ in Mormonism. How can you be saved within the Mormon Church? There is no eternal life without the Mormon Church membership. In other words, you don't have a chance of being saved if you are not part of a Mormon Church, Mormon Fellowship. People are considered resurrected by grace, but saved, that is, exalted to godhood and eternal life, by works, which include the following: faithfulness to church leaders. In other words, whatever they say, your faithfulness to them is part of your salvation. You must be baptized in the Mormon Church. You must tithe. You must be ordained. You must be married. And through following secret temple rituals that only the Mormons know. After death in Mormonism, eventually nearly everyone goes to one of the three separate heavenly kingdoms, with some achieving godhood. Apostates, however, and murderers go to outer darkness. An apostate is one who falls away. That's what the word means. One who was a Mormon who falls away from Mormonism and rejects it. And murderers, of course, these go into outer darkness. The rest, because God is just, even if you weren't a good Mormon or a true Mormon, but if you were a good Baptist, as it were, you go to some form of a heavenly kingdom. As a matter of fact, I remember a couple of young men coming to my house one day in Denton and telling I asked them, I said, what's going to happen to me if I never convert? And their answer was, in a very nice way, they said, God is just, and you will go to heaven of some sort. That was their words. Some sort of heaven. Some of their other beliefs and practices in Mormonism are that there is no alcohol. You cannot drink alcohol. You cannot smoke or dip any kind of tobacco. There's no coffee because it's full of caffeine. And no tea drinking. Certainly no soft drinks with any kind of caffeine. Baptism is to be performed on behalf of the dead. That's why in Mormonism you will find they go to great lengths to find their family history and go back to their family tree. Because remember, Mormonism didn't begin until the 1830s. And so prior to Mormonism beginning, you had a family tree of people who were all waiting for you. They're all dead, of course. And they're waiting for you to pray them out of their existence in the ground. That's why these family trees go back so far. It's also why Mormons are so stinking nice. They're nice people. They're good people to be around. They're moral. And moral people, of course, are always good to be around. And they're great influences on us and our children. But the motivation behind being good is actually a wicked motivation. Because if you're being good in order to gain favor with God, then you have rejected the grace that Jesus Christ gives and salvation by grace. The baptism on behalf of the dead that the Mormons participate in, they'll get themselves baptized, and do it in someone else's name, this family tree that they've come up with prior to Mormonism, in order to do good deeds. And the more people they're baptized for and the more money they give on behalf of the dead who existed before Mormonism, clearly in their minds they're striving towards godhood. They're striving toward having their own planet even. of a place where they will rule and be God, and one day people will write about them and say, as that person is, as that he is now a God, and as you are, you can be like him. This is a great motivator of Mormons. Also, other beliefs and practices. Mormons, most of them believe in going on a 2-year missionary commitment. It's encouraged. It's not mandatory for salvation, but that's what those young men are doing when they're knocking on your doors. They are they're trying to earn their way into heaven. And it's two years of knocking on doors in various places and trying to bring people to the Mormon faith. And again, in our society, people do value the family, and the Mormons have a great track record of being good family people. They have lots of children because they believe that they are giving bodies to the millions and millions of spirit beings that exist and that have always existed, and they're giving bodies to them. And they're giving more and more opportunities for these spirit beings to also become gods and one day possess their own planet and be God of that planet and be God of some world. It's quite interesting. Also, one thing I did not say earlier was that Jesus and Satan, or Lucifer, are said to be brothers. And in the Mormon religion, there was a time when Elohim, God, looked down upon the earth, and the earth was corrupt and full of horrible things and people, and really in Mormon thought, there was a conversation that went on in heaven, some cosmic conversation. God, Elohim, offered a challenge to Jesus and Lucifer as to what the plan might be to redeem these evil people on earth. Lucifer came forward with his suggestion. Jesus had a better suggestion. Elohim went with Jesus' idea and sent Jesus to earth to redeem, to do his work. And Satan rebelled. It made him angry, or I should say Lucifer, who became Satan. And he went down to the earth too. He went down and he inhabited the black race. Black people in early Mormon thought were said to be those with the mark of Cain. So preposterous and absurd. And it has led to much of the, what we would say, what's the word I'm looking for? Racism that has existed from then even till now. Of course, other beliefs and practices, there's the secret temple rituals available only to church members in good standing. There's the extensive social network. The men of African ancestry, as I said before, were not granted full access because they were thought to have the mark of Cain. But they were finally given privileges in 1978. So whatever they thought prior to that, they don't now. Of course, in biblical Christianity, our God is one. He exists eternally as three separate persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a second member of the Trinity. He's fully God, fully man. He was begotten through the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He is the only way to God the Father. And salvation is by Him alone. It's only by faith. The Holy Spirit is also God, the third person of the Trinity. He is not a force or an energy field. He comforts, He grieves, he reproves, He convicts, He guides, He teaches, and He fills Christians. He is not God the Father, He is not God the Son. In biblical Christianity, we are saved by God's grace, not by works. Salvation must be received by faith in Jesus Christ. People must believe in their heart that Jesus died for their sins, and physically rose again. This is the assurance of forgiveness of the resurrection of the body. This is God's loving plan to forgive sinful people. And after death, believers in Jesus Christ go to be with Jesus. After death, all people await the final judgment. Both the saved and lost people will be resurrected. Those who are saved will live with Jesus in heaven. Those who are not will go into outer darkness, into the lake of fire, the Bible says. Jesus' bodily resurrection guarantees believers that they too will be resurrected and receive new immortal bodies. This is the good news. The bad news is that there are many cults out there espousing a wrong view. Make sure that what you believe is in our Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us by His grace, and we are saved by faith in Him alone. To God be the glory.